Terps and Hoosiers. I'll tell you what. Indiana, no joke. You can talk all that basketball you want. JMU was no joke. If you don't believe me, ask Tar Heel Nation. But Terps and Indiana tied up 14 apiece as we get in the third quarter action. And, I mean, Big Ten, this realignment, a lot of action. It's kind of worked out. It's worked out good. I enjoy it. But this is, have you put your eyeballs on Indiana so far, football-wise?
Yeah, dude. Cignetti's got that team looking really, really good. I'm currently trying to figure out what channel it's on right now so I can put it on in the studio. But, yeah, Cignetti's got Indiana football, like, rolling. So I think that Indiana has a pretty solid chance of making the playoff in that 12-team pool. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I was telling Frank Dynamite Stevens, linebacker, old UCLA teammate of mine. I said, it reminds me of Terry Donahue. I mean, the guy, there's certain people, same thing is happening with Alabama now, and their coach, they win everywhere they've been. They don't just win because they have a good player at quarterback. Or they've got, you know, Walter Payton as their back. They win wherever they're at. No matter what the program is or the size of the program, they have the formula. And they also have good assistants. I think he took 19 or 20 of his players to coaches. And the real trademark of a good program and a good leader is once he leaves, the program's still strong. I mean, you saw what happened last week against Carolina?
Yeah, dude, 70 pieced him at home. It was crazy.
Man, that was rugged.
I mean, that was
something.
Yeah, dude, we were doing a shorter show last week, so it was like 1:30. We just wrapped up, and I looked over, and JMU had 40 points on the board. I was like, what is going on? It was insane.
You didn't believe it.
No, they just boat raced them. It was incredible. I did not think that was going to happen. I thought UNC would make it at least a little bit tougher of a fight. But, I mean, eventually they came back to score 50 points, but you're still not touching 70.
And this is what makes the Michigan State loss so bad for Maryland, because they should be undefeated.
Yeah, you can't have an early conference loss on your record if you want to make a deep run.
You can't. Now you're fighting your guts out
mm-hmm.
for this and looking at quick turnaround in programs, and it's about a belief system. And when you get it, and that's one thing now I love about watching Game Day with Nick Saban on it. It's him and Belichick. Who would have thought it? In the same year, you get these two maestros of the game who hated to talk when they were coaching. They were horrible on purpose because they didn't want you to want them on the air. And now both of them, I tape everything they're on because I just like hearing them talk the game. And if you think either one of those guys is not going to coach again, you crazy as a road lizard. And watching coach not all these commercials, it kills me. I wanted nothing to do with the media as a coach.
And now he doesn't want to have anything to do with college players in the NIL era. So it seems that he's made the right choice, especially after you heard about that UNLV thing, right?
Oh, yeah, it was a top story. I mean, that Thursday on the podcast, yeah, I'm like, what took this so long to happen?
I think 3 weeks is the deadline to redshirt. So they gave them as much time as he could, and then it was like, all right, well, if you're not going to pay me what I was allegedly verbally offered, then I'm going to transfer. Bye.
But can we admit that everybody on his side of the ledger is guilty? I mean, the first thing I'm going to do, my son comes in and says, hey, Dad, I'm going to UNLV, blah, 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 blah. They're going to give me $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
I say, show it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Dad, they told me.
Yeah.
I said, son, talk is cheap.
Son, did you sign a document anywhere? No?
Now, of course, the athlete's not going to assume any responsibility.
Correct.
And this is where we're in college, right? That's where we're supposed to be taught lessons. We learn lessons in college.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, to me, the lesson is, hey, son, you effed up. You should have had it in writing. That's your bad.
Yep.
Okay, you got played. You played yourself. Hey, mom and dad, y'all got played. You never asked the appropriate question as a parent. Where's it in writing? If somebody's going to pay you $100,000,
that's a lot of money.
You could at least afford to pay the 10% or so that it might cost to protect yourself with an attorney, right?
Right.
So whose fault is that?
Exactly. And that's kind of where I echo the same thoughts. Yeah.
But they're not going to do that. No. They're not going to ever say. The kid's going to say, nah, I'm a red shirt. They come, and then Vegas, of all places. Now, it really looks bad.
Seriously.
How can Las Vegas come up 100 grand short? That's how you know that it's all funny. What? They should be able to go down and get anybody on the floor.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to stay covered. So it was good to hear today that they need to get this thing fixed. They need to figure out how to come to some understanding. They got to get this thing worked out. And, of course, they won't. They'll mess around and let it crash. But having Nick on game day, I just think it's a plus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's really good to hear it. But it's also embarrassing. Well, it's not embarrassing. I mean, we're talking about a game, legislating a game. We got things we can't handle that involve our from a country, from healthcare, from legalization of this and that. And what are you talking about? A criminal system. We got so many things that we haven't figured out, and you think we're supposed to figure out NIL?
Well, I'm hearing that in the next couple of years, schools might be allowed to start paying players directly. So we'll see if this all gets
either resolved. What makes you think they're going to get it right?
Correct. I mean, it's going to be the disparity will always be there. Because it's college football, but there will be some kind of some kind of umbrella. At least it all gets put under some governing body that isn't the NCAA.
Yeah,
but see, it will be.
And here's the other thing: we still have not been able to unmask the bank robbers at all these universities that made all that money, and they gave us a gift bag, all in bowl games that we went through.
Mm-hmm.
You got a gift bag. They gave you a T-shirt, some hats, shoes. They were pocketing a king's ransom. What happens to that? What about all the bank robbers that came in and ripped off the universities?
Ooh, a referee just made a block for Maryland. Oh, my. That's...
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a whole bunch to be settled. And I'm wondering how long will this take? Yeah, then you won't see that. That guy clearly interfered with that defender's ability.
Yeah, hey man, I'll take it.
Terp Nation will take
it. Yeah, if I bet on Indiana, I'd be furious, but I didn't, so go Terps.
Yeah, 2021 now. It's in third quarter. And to see Maryland in the fight is good. This is Indiana's a really good team.
Yeah, man.
A really good team. Don't sleep on it because you think it's not basketball season. They're really good. And so for Locks and the boys, this would really be good as they tie things up at 21 apiece. This would really be a huge win. And because they effed up and lost to the Spartans, they cannot lose this game.
No, it is a certified must win.
Yeah, and it's a statement that the recruiting and everything is going the way they'd like to get it. And I know Lamont Jordan has just lost his mind at Hemby with a big run. LJ joins us as often as possible right now. He's focusing on the game, but we'll get him back hopefully next week. It's just good, man, to be relevant. When our teams are relevant and they're moving in the right direction, it would be it'd be good. I still cannot get over the lesson that Jordan Reed just shared with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents, if you got a young person now that's playing tackle football, that just makes you a little bit more aware. And when I see the, you know, the guards that they have, the padded for the helmets you see throughout training camp, I don't know why that's not mandatory for high school, even in games.
Yeah. It's the public perception is that it looks silly, therefore it is stupid. But
well, it looks stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
The restrictor plate in NASCAR. I mean, they got a whole bunch of things in NASCAR that absolutely they tightened up.
Yeah.
You know, and after the King.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that tragedy. I'm saying the protection should come in for the puppies.
I completely agree.
There's no reason for a 10 or 11, 12-year-old to have to show a display of manhood.
Right.
We should be protecting these babies from this unnecessary contact at the youth levels. And we've got great coaches out here. The Maryland Heat. I mean, the Vienna youth programs are legendary. Woodbridge, Springfield, PG County. I mean, all over. We have some of the premier youth coaches
mm-hmm.
in the country.
We do.
And we have got to put an emphasis on the protection, that helmet, the head-to-head contact. And so we don't care what it looks like. If they got to have a looking like Dumbo, we ought to find a way, if there's a way, to protect the babies even more so. I mean, these rules for pro and the kickoff return, oh, that's nice. But what about the babies that are coming in? We're letting them come in with brain damage. How dumb is that? Let's reduce it at the youngest levels, and then it makes a little bit more sense. I mean, that's how I see it. But that's why we're lucky to have this intelligent audience. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. If you heard what Jordan said, if you have any input on it, we believe that the earlier, the better. And love contact sports. Look, baseball gets hit. And we know when they added the guard, when I played back in the Stone Ages, baseball, they didn't have those guards that came down across your mouth. They developed all of that. So we can't stop developing it. We got to keep doing it. And I'm just saying in particular with the youth leagues. So if you youth coaches that are out there to have a little something to contribute to that, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'd love to chop it out with that. And, of course, it's victory week, and we're in Arizona. And love your input on what you think up and coming. College is rocking and rolling, 21 apiece with the Terps and the Hoosiers. A lot going on. Stick and stay. We'll be right back here on Overtime. You know, our locals are in it, man, football-wise. Hokies in a barn burner last night with the U. Terps 21, Hoosiers 21. And it is ball and penalties once again. Seem to be the nemesis for the Turtles. It's hard to beat people if you help them by beating yourself. Not good. Got to get it locked down. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Landover Hills, a very, very familiar location. Marco, welcome home.
Hey, Doc. What's happening, buddy? Great show.
You know what time it is.
Hey, buddy, great, great interview with Jordan Reed. That guy is a baller. Sorry to hear about what happened with him, man. Always respected the dickens out of him. And I've got to believe, Doc, that if anybody can help the young folks and other football players, it would be Jordan with his passion for the game, buddy. Great interview.
Agreed. Agreed.
Hey, man, and about the Skins, man. Doc, I've got to say it, buddy. You and I stuck with our guns, set adults in the building, and I see good things happening, Doc. I think that they make a few additions. We are on the road to recovery, and I agree with Mr. Reed. I think we've got a really good chance at being 3-1, Doc, because there's a gentleman on our coaching staff that I think wants a little revenge, and I think he may get it.
Yep. Well, let's hope so. The thing is, we got a chance. I try to liken this to real estate in a lot of ways. They bought a property. It's dirt, so it's got value. There's no worthless dirt.
That's right, buddy.
But they had no idea. They knew there were some roaches. They had no idea it was also rat infested, termite infested. I mean, it was an absolute mess. But they're not bitching about it. They roll up their sleeves. And they're working on it. And to be where we are now, I am so pleasantly surprised that I can't do nothing but be honest about it. And we do our picks with the rooster and the whale every week. And I think I picked them once. And I have them this week. And I'm still shaking in my boots because I don't underestimate the Cardinals. The Cardinals are a dangerous opponent because they have a version of what we have, but he's more experienced. And their team is further ahead, and they're at home. So there's a lot of things that we have to overcome, and everybody's got a one. That kid from New York almost beat us single-handedly. Now you got Marvelous Marvin, who's now showing the NFL those that underestimated him, his talents. They're crazy as a road lizard. This dude he's that dude.
He's that good, Doc. He is. You're a good judge of talent. You're right about that, Doc. That gentleman is going to be a heck of a player if he keeps it on the straight and narrow, buddy, and practices like you guys do. He will be a heck of a player. And, Doc, I'm going to let you go with this. Buddy, if this is a loss, it will be a learning loss for us, and that will make a difference, buddy. And, hey, great show,
I don't know
Doc.
How to say loss before the game. Mark, I don't know how to say loss. I can't even envision. I can't let anything negative penetrate my brain that way. Appreciate you as always, man. McLean, our next stop. John, welcome to Overtime.
Thank you, Doc. Always good to hear you on a Saturday afternoon. Appreciated the conversation and the interview with Jordan Reed. I want to make 2 points to you, especially on the youth football. Now, this is not my area. I'm not a physician. I'm not a neurologist. My wife's a speech pathologist. She works with a lot of people with brain injuries, strokes, concussion. And the one thing that I've learned about kids, especially, is that it's not necessarily the head-to-head contact that is the issue with concussions. It's the fact that for kids, especially the kids you were mentioning, 11, 12, that young, is the ratio between that weight of their head and the strength of their neck muscles is not developed enough. So that it's more of a whiplash effect where the brain sort of knocks against the inside of the skull. And so for adults, where our neck-head ratio is a little bit stronger, it's the head-to-head contact and not necessarily the neck. And my son is standing here next. My son is standing here next to me, reminding me that one of the you mentioned NASCAR. One of the safety precautions they've instituted in F1 racing is the Hans device, which the whole point of that is to stabilize the neck to reduce that kind of concussion.
Right. That I was aware of. Unfortunately, you know, in the game of the gridiron, we can't. Add that device
to the
game.
You can't add that. And I'm sure there are people around the country, you know, the CTE Center in Boston, and there's a neurologist here in Georgetown, and there's another one in Richmond. I'm sure they're working on, you know, different types of safety devices, especially for kids.
I
want to add one other thing. You guys were mentioning sort of the cultural part around how, you know, these different helmets, you know, some people think they look silly and therefore they're not useful or not used. I think that's a great point because I think there's a part of the culture that we have today that almost celebrates concussion. You look at the whatever this is called, this power slap thing that I see on Instagram all the time, where it's literally about punching someone in the face, and we kind of almost celebrate the fact when people get knocked out. And, you know, that's a brain injury. Those people have brain injuries, and it's going to affect them in the long run. So I think your point about this sort of cultural perspective on what looks silly, sacrificing especially kids' health, is something that we need to address as a society here.
John, I think you understand that we have a lot of people that have a high academic IQ. We have a lot of people that are just awesome in terms of their academic accomplishments. But we have the lowest levels of accomplishment when it comes to common sense, to me.
Yes,
I think that one of the things that we make a huge error in is not including and appreciating people that have common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that know more about the world that have never stepped on a collegiate campus. And I think we need 1% of that. They need to be spoken for in society. Just my personal opinion that you don't have a degree in everything to be about everything in this culture.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you, Doc. I'm off to the,
value
off to the
you,
next
brother.
Game. I appreciate you as always. Thanks so much.
Hey, man, thank you so much, and enjoy your son. Because believe me, one day he's gonna move up out of there, ask you to send him a check, and you ain't going to hear from him anymore. But enjoy him. We got to take a break, man. I got Max screaming at me. Appreciate all of y'all, man. Overtime, we doing this thing, man. Victory week, man, and I'm overwhelmed with it. Stay with us. We'll be back. Ah, what a week have we had. This week has been fantastic, but that's what a victory week should be like. They're hard to get. They don't give them away. You got to go take them. And we're going to have to take victory from the Arizona Cardinals this week out in the area that they say is 100, 115 degrees. What is new? Hey, John, that was a great... That was just a great call, man. Is Melvin still with us?
I believe so.
Melvin, out in Maryland, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for taking my call, Doc. I've been part of football. Football been part of my life. Football been part of my life all my life. I'm 55 years old.
Okay.
And the thing is, I came up playing throwback, a game called throwback tackle, which introduced me to football. And that got me prepared for the physicality of the game. You know what I mean? And then I went on from there to the Pee Wee Leagues until high school, until college, until semi-pro. And I always knew, though, it came with a lot. I was in a sport that I wasn't Melvin once I put that helmet on. I was a total different character. And my mother wasn't always out there at the games. My siblings wasn't always out there at the games. I came up in the early 70s playing rough football, hard, nutcracker.
Yep.
You know?
That was a drill.
And as they call it, the Oklahoma now.
That was a drill.
But the thing is, we have to understand that it's a sport that's being taken for granted now. They got these kids out here playing with shoulder pads, and you might as well put them on shorts now in college. You can see their whole knee. They playing with the wrong cleats on the synthetic turf. That's why you're getting so many Achilles and so many torn ACLs today. But no one is taking account of that. No one is looking into that. But see, I love the sport. I look deep into it because I've been involved with it all my life. That's why I told myself if I was ever to get back into coaching, I wanted to start at the Pee Wee level. In the Pee Wee level, my coaching would start with, I'm going to teach y'all how to play tackle. And it's not being taught again. And it's sad that this is why a lot of kids are having getting concussions because they don't understand about the hit and rap. They don't understand that. But it's not being taught.
You can tell
all about
one thing about it, Mel. You can look at the pro game because they don't tackle in training camp.
Exactly.
And that's why their tackling in September is atrocious. So
thank you, Rick.
We got some things need to be corrected on every level, not only on NIL. That's just one area that they have got to fix. We have a lot of things need to be repaired, and they need to be talked through sensibly by adults with nobody to gain an interest in it other than the participants. Let's fix that first. Then the profit. I'm all for profit. I'm all for free enterprise. I'm all for let's make a profit if a profit's available. But let's get a root, a basis of why we're doing all this, and safety's first.
See, the thing is, Rick, Mr. Walker, no disrespect, and that is so true. Everybody is chasing profit. And I have watched kids come out on the field and don't understand that this is a physical game. But their parents sitting on the sideline, why is my kid not in the game? Your kid don't understand this. You don't understand this. But the thing is, safety first.
Yeah, I hope your voice has that platform because you're well needed. Mel, we appreciate you, man. I'm running out to Dr. Sabah now. It's a hard act to follow, Dr. Sabah, but you're qualified and you're capable.
Hey there, Doc. Man, sorry I'm late chiming in. Yeah, you're right. That gentleman, very, very intelligent call, so I'm going to dumb it down for everybody. Can I chime in about my Tar Heels? I know it's the NFL, and I'll give a score. But I need to ask you something.
We don't pay you to call, Sabah, so nobody. We don't pay people. So you have the right to interject anything you choose.
Oh, great. Well, it is your show, so I think it's only right that I ask.
No, it's not my show.
Oh.
It's the people's show. I work for the people.
Well, okay. I don't know if you know what happened last week when we got embarrassed. Remember, I called you. I said, Dr. 56. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, the word is that Mac Brown in the post game locker room said, y'all better off without me. I'm leaving. And I guess his wife talked to him and said, you big idiot. You know, what'd you do that for? So he now walked back and said, well, no. What I told the team was, if y'all think y'all better off without me, I will leave. That's how much I love you and the university. So that's how he walked it back. I'm thinking, you, Doc, as a player, okay, I'm worried now that this game against Duke today is huge because it could all be done. To me, it's the equivalent of like a husband saying, that's it, I filed for divorce, done, and the kids come crying, no, Daddy, please stay. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I changed my mind. We just had an argument. And literally, he's not all in. He's just waiting for the kids to go to college, and then he's gone. I think Max just going to wait for this year to be done, and he is gone. And I think it affects the whole team and the whole dynamic, the whole program. But am I crazy there? What? How do you think from a player's point of view?
No, but you got to understand something. In Carolina, there might be a high interest of it.
Yeah.
On here, with especially the Terps, now people mad because they falling behind. The tragedy that took place in Miami with the Hokies last night and Miami.
Uh-huh.
You are the only person in our region right now that has an interest in Mac Brown or the Tar Heels in football.
Well, what I was kind of come through was that I was trying to make it point of view of a coach quitting on his team. What does that do to the players if for him to then come back?
Well, no, I think right now the players,
anybody, you know,
your coach is that age, mm-hmm. and with NIL, mm-hmm. you know, we shoot from the hip. Man, these kids don't care who coaches them as long as they're getting paid.
I got you. Exactly.
NIL right now, do you honestly think anybody cares? Yeah. They don't care who the hell the coach is.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Maybe they go out and play for themselves.
Yeah, that's the problem. We've lost that.
Yeah, I got you.
We're in a mess right now. We're in a mess.
Yes, we are. But get it back to the NFL.
This is a mess.
All right, you ready for my prediction, sir? Okay.
Yep.
Getting back to the NFL, I'm sorry I went offline, is 31 to 28, we take it. 31-28 is us. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Hope you're right. Walt in Tampa, that's a hard act for you to follow, but you're capable, Walter.
Big dog, what's up, man? Remember last week I called up and said I had the same feeling I had when we played Pittsburgh when they were 11-0, and we had that five-play goal line stance. And I think Pittsburgh didn't win another game that year. I think it was Chase's first year. I had that feeling, Doc, hey, and wow, was I pleased. Man, they heard me. I'm in Clearwater, actually. I can sit on my deck and look across the bay to Tampa, but I was in Clearwater, and everybody in my community heard me Monday night. It was a beautiful thing, bro.
Yeah, it's been a great week. We've had a very nice week. The expectations start to mount once people expect you to win. When they're shocked, you know, this is all fun now because we're in that giddy mood. Oh, my goodness, we won a game. Then, but what we're used to is being expected to win.
Well,
you know,
Doc,
I don't want to be like we upset somebody. Hell, this is Washington. We want to be expected to win.
I'm looking at the mentality of our team as in years past, we would have came back and lost 55-3. But I think this has instilled a lot of confidence in the units. Defense got to pick up, and I think that's going to come. That's just a matter of time. I know we're a little slack of talent, but we got two of the best coaches when it comes to that side of the ball in the league. So I think that's going to at least improve enough. But, I think these guys are going to take this week and all the good stuff they were hearing and just pile on top of it and use that as motivation and not for us to go out here Sunday and be super let down. When we beat them, I don't know. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. And I think it's going to come down to one or two. Well, most games do. But I think it's going to come down to one or two who makes the most stops. And that's about it.
Well, if that's the case, we could be in a bit of trouble unless there's another layer that these guys have in them. We know we can play much better on defense. So the most amount of improvement I'm expecting is on the defensive side of the ball because that's where we've underachieved. We can just play better.
I was listening to one of the shows, and it had, you know, one of the either someone that covers the team out there in Arizona. And from what he's saying, their defense is as bad as ours. That's why I said it's going to come down to which one of these defenses can make the most stops.
And again, the other thing is that penalties is that if we don't help people beat us, we're hard out with five at quarterback.
How many penalties did we have Monday night? One? Two?
Yeah, I know we're no longer leading the nation. So that's the key.
It was a fairly clean game, wasn't it?
Again, I know we didn't punt. I didn't memorize that stat, but I don't remember it as of it being a factor. I will say this: we're competitive, which we haven't always been. And when you put competitiveness with brains, and then we got a couple playmakers, then you got something. Now, the one, we lost a playmaker in Eckler. We lost our best playmaker. That's got to be replaced by somebody who's got to step up. Now, Terry replaced that last week with his heroics. Now we need somebody to step up for Eckby, and that may be Rob, whoever gets the opportunity. But as far as I'm concerned, that Fab Five, it's really six because we rotated the left tackle position. Those six goons up front, they earn their checks. Our boys are blocking again. And if we'll just keep blocking, if we'll just keep blocking, then we got a chance because we have playmakers at the strategic positions. But if we don't have bricklayers up front, this house will never be completed. Now we got slobber knockers up front. That's what we need. We've spent way too much time talking about wide receivers. We'll end up in last place again. It's a big man's game. And now our big men on offense are stepping up. Once the defensive guys get plugged in and realize that they're fooling themselves, they think they're playing hard, but they're not. It's not about how hard they play. I need them to be effective. They're not effective. They got to fix it. We're up against a break, my brother. Appreciate the phone call. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. MGM National Listener Line. We appreciate all of you that have chimed in today. This has had a little more of a medical side to it. If we can help people, hey, man, we do that. And John out in McLean, his wife is in head trauma. Look at the high level of IQ, Max, that this broadcast attracts. We've had military marathon runners, people calling in. It's not like when the toddler's on, right? And we're getting people talking about comic books calling in here. We'll be right back. Boy, we got a rumbler going on. Hoosiers, Terrapins, local Fairfax County kid getting it done, spinning it. And the Turtles, man, you know, it's this is interesting. Love that. I don't know how. We got a bit of a controversy in the.
This is a touchdown. I don't understand.
It's a touchdown. It looks like touchdown. I don't think the ball. I don't think he lost the ball.
Does his elbow hit before a frame before the knee? Man, that'd be a tough way to call that, especially after last night for Tech fans. DMV is going.
Yeah, that would be. Well, that's a crazy call because he's in end zone, but the elbow is down. And I know how frustrating this must be if you're in your car without a television in your dashboard.
We're doing our best. We're not allowed to do play-by-play.
And these nitwits are describing a play you can't see. Clearly the elbow hits. And how'd you like to have Mike Pereira's job to talk about this? It's no different than baseball. Anytime you got to go to New York or go somewhere else over a call, we want to get it right, but don't we lose some of the spontaneity of the game? But then you want to get it right. But last night, and I hate to pull that scab off the womb, the Hokie Nation, but that was just painful. They said touchdown, but you knew. Said, wait a minute, hold it, Slim. You know, but you see, you could tell the ball, you could see the ball moving, although it never hit the ground. And I just had a bad feeling about it. And then, but why don't we go to the 757? And the mayor down there, Paulie, hail to the W. What'd you think about it? Did you see the Hokies' Miami conclusion?
Doc, hail to the W. I've seen the highlights of it, man, but I got a couple of Hokie friends that was crying, so I can only imagine. So, hey, but hey, they covered though.
Yeah, I got a feeling this is going to be incomplete.
They were 17 when they started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they covered. At least they covered. Hey, I want to say this about the game tomorrow. I'm interested to see. This is going to tell me what type of attention Coach Quinn got on his team right here. You know, coming off a short week, emotional win, you the talk of the town. We're going to see how does this group handle success. Because some of our past teams haven't handled it pretty well. So I'm anxious to see how we're going to come out. Are we going to come out and play with that same intensity and attention to detail and get better on defense? Look, I always say it ain't going to happen overnight, week by week. As long as we can improve on something each week, then I think we're going to be all right. But, yeah, I'm real anxious to see how the team come out and play. Of course, I'm looking for a victory, but I'm anxious to see how they going to react to Dan Quinn.
And, well, that's fair.
I'm glad they was out there in Arizona this week That way they ain't come home to all the pats on the back.
Thank you.
Like, we was the talk, because Jada James was the talk of the country, the NFL country this week. And it's easy to fall into that trap of people, you know, giving you free food and patting you on your back and telling you how good you are. And then you show up next the following Sunday and lay an egg. So I'm glad we kept it on a business trip type situation. You know, it's all about your mindset. So I'm really anxious to see what kind of attention Dan Quinn got with these players, man.
I'm with you, and I agree.
Hail to the W.
All right, hail to the W. I agree. Being on a road trip, I call it a condensed version of training camp, since there's no training camps anymore, because it's a lingerie camp, and you don't go away. There was something that you cannot replace about being out, being in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, being in a college dorm room, being on that miserable cot. There's something about it that pushes your team closer together. This road trip that the Harris Group paid for, that's an investment into your future. I admire that. That was not easy to do. They did it, and that is awesome. That is awesome. Top of the hour we go, Max. You ready?
I'm ready. You ready?
Dude, you know I woke up ready. Now the Terps didn't have it snatched off the board. It was the right call. But it shows you how close you are and then how far away. Man, it would be awful to have the big boys on the collegiate level not leaving the Cavaliers out. Right now we're just not focused on that. But, man, this is brutal. But it's college football. And we haven't even mentioned tonight yet. Alabama and the Dogs. What a night in college. Stick and stay.